Hello and welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix for Wednesday, January 25th, 2018. The Dad Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at kingdomstrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort. And pick it up from the resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando stroller rentals, and a Disney-featured stroller vendor. Today, we welcome back to the show, Jay Gilbert. Welcome back, Jay.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be back.
So this will be the, third in our series of Diz Dads Club convention review shows. But, you know, that's okay because each one of these experiences has been different. We started off talking with Chris Papchek a couple weeks ago, who was coming back to Walt Disney World for the first time in two decades. That clearly doesn't describe either last week's guest, Michael Tai, or this week's Jay Gilbert. They're both frequent Walt Disney World visitors. But Jay, I think your vacation had its own uniquenesses. The first may have been just kind of getting it started.
Yeah. We'll just jump back a little bit.
Okay, sure.
Leslie and Kaylee were both preparing for their first half this year. They were getting ready to do the half marathon, and right at Thanksgiving, Kaylee kicked a radiator and broke two bones in her foot.
Ouch!
And that put a very big damper on her running and training. And then Christmas morning, she woke up with the flu right after being cleared to run again. So put her out for another couple days. Then Leslie had the flu in the same between Christmas and New Year's. Oh. So we were very nervous about getting out the door on New Year's Day with Corey and I not getting sick.
I don't blame you. So you're juggling these kinds of things. And, you know, this is not a trip that you just threw together. This was not, you know, Chris's trip that he started thinking about in Thanksgiving. This is something that had been at least on some level in the works for you all for just about a year, right? I mean, pretty much since last Diz Dads Club convention.
Yeah. When you do the races, you have to decide early because the registration for the half, it filled up in April.
Okay.
So, I mean, we knew in April that we were going.
Right. So that's a good 8 months in advance. And, What kind of travel arrangements and things had you made in advance? I mean, luckily, in your situation at least, I think it was lucky. You usually drive to Walt Disney World, and so that gave you a little more flexibility maybe than some of us who are tied to a particular day to fly out. But talk a little bit about that planning phase, because you did have, you know, a good chunk of time in advance. So what kinds of plans did you have in place?
We generally have the last couple trips. I think this is our fourth straight trip where we drove. As I've said before, my wife works overnights. We generally try to plan to leave between 7 and 9 somewhere at night to drive. I'll drive for the first couple hours till I'm getting tired, and then Leslie takes over because she's used to that overnight being awake.
Sure.
Road trip, and I mean she plows through pretty consistently for it. I usually drive, I can get us into Maryland from where we live. It's about 1 hour and 45 minutes, 2 hours. Generally, yeah, that's only like 9, 10 o'clock, but I've been up since whatever time and, you know, packing all day and things like that. So I drove us into Maryland again. We actually, there's a Sheetz maybe 15 miles into Maryland where we pretty much stop every time, top off the gas, and that's where we switch.
Okay. So you had that sort of routine in place. You're all set in place. Now, let's go back to, okay, everybody was sick. You're hoping everybody's better in time. You're hoping you and Corey don't get sick. Did you manage to actually get out at your planned time?
We actually got out early.
Okay, after all the stress.
All the stress. Leslie was saying, you know, she was going to get up between 7:30. We'd be out the door by 8 o'clock. The fire alarm down the street went off about 6:30, and she came running down the steps and said, "You're not going anywhere." Because she was awake at that point, and she heard it as she was getting up. She came running down. She's like, "Don't go nowhere."
Right. And for those of you, by the way, who are listening and who are not aware, Jay volunteers with the volunteer fire brigade there. So, yes. You know, that's not a random thought that Leslie is saying, no, you're not going to respond to this fire, because that would be the normal mode there.
Yeah, absolutely. And now Kaylee's running as well. So,
oh, wow.
She just joined in September. So it's pretty much now the pager goes off and she knows that we're both leaving no matter what. And there's been plenty of podcasts that I've jumped out of in the middle of for.
Sure.
So, yeah, we actually got out about 7:30-ish. We pulled out.
All right.
You know, right on track with where we wanted to be. We went a little bit early.
Right. And as a result, you're on the road and out in front of the nasty weather that was coming behind.
Yes. Yeah, we actually were in Florida before the weather hit in Pennsylvania and Maryland, and then the entire East Coast. We actually got there right around noon on Tuesday the 2nd.
Okay. So Tuesday, January 2nd, you arrive at Walt Disney World. Talk about accommodations plans. Do I remember correctly that this was a resort hopping split stay maybe multiple times on this one?
Yes, it was. My wife and I have decided that we're going to try to hit every resort. This trip was going to be numbers 9, 10, and 11.
Okay, so that's what I was going to say. Like, you all have committed yourself to visiting every resort. Jay, other people do the same thing. You don't have to do it all this year.
I know. If we do a split, we generally do like one day and then a bulk of our stay at the main resort we're going to stay. And then like the last night, we tend to do a moderate for a day. Just to, you know, get our bases and get in and get into town. Then we'll do one of the deluxe or, you know, one of the whatever we prefer as our majority of our stay. And then we save the values. And because then if we check out at 5 a.m. to start driving home, we're okay with it.
Okay. So that makes sense. You're not
spending a ton of money on that room.
Right, right.
So this time we hit we stayed at Port Orleans French Quarter. We spent one night there, and with no park passes or anything for the first day, we actually got a really good layout of the resort. Got to see a lot of it. Kids did a lot of the stuff there during the day. And then on Wednesday, we moved over to Fort Wilderness to a cabin, which was by far probably my favorite place to stay so far on property.
Wow. Okay. So let's dig a little deeper on the cabin then. Talk about, you know, first of all, describe for people what the cabins are like, because I don't know that very many people have been listening. You know, we haven't heard feedback from folks who have stayed there, and they got a pretty significant update here within the last couple of years. They really got sort of top to bottom refurbishments.
Yeah. We stayed one of the close loops right to the front of the resort. The cabins are basically, I looked at it, it looks like a single wide mobile home trailer with the Disney overhaul on it. Make it Disney-fied. Cabins on the outside, very rustic looking.
That kind of log cabin look.
Yeah, they all have a log cabin look. Everyone has a fire charcoal stove outside, a charcoal grill, a deck with a table and benches, hose attachment. If you would have a camper or anything like that, that's all on the outside. Inside, when you walk into the front, like the main door, you walk right into the kitchen area, which has a full refrigerator, a 2-burner stovetop, dishwasher, and a microwave convection oven.
Very nice. Very nice. So, you know, smaller in size, but ultimately a pretty fully functional kitchen.
Yeah. Leslie was able to cook stuff for the picnic in the convection oven. Took her a little getting used to because she never used one before. But we made breakfast in the room. We made pancakes. We made French toast. We did tacos one night. We did, like after the race date, we did grilled cheese because the kids just wanted to hang out in the room and relax. So we had a fully functioning kitchen for what our needs were.
Very nice. And you know, the other kind of nice thing about the cabins is, you've got two teenage kids now, right? So, you know, I'm in that same situation where I've got a 15-year-old girl and an 11-year-old boy now. They can't really share a bed these days. Correct. And the cabin gives you some different options.
It does. The cabin, there in the bedroom, there is a full or a queen size bed, and then also a set of bunk beds. But also out in the living room area, the couch pulls out to a queen sleeper sofa.
Wow.
So essentially, you could put six people in there comfortably. When you're sleeping, I don't know about how it would be like during the day and getting ready and things
yeah,
like
right.
that. We actually just talked about that tonight with my parents, trying to figure out, cause we're pushing to get them to come with us next year. And I said to my wife, I said, I don't know that four adults and two teenagers is going to be comfortable in there.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you have three younger kids, or, you know, if you have two adults and three younger kids, or three adults, if a grandparent comes and, you know, you have two younger kids that can share the sleeper sofa, it would be perfectly suitable for, I would say, three adults and two teens without a real problem.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest drawback at that point is not the sleeping space or even really the room space. It's the one bathroom.
Correct. That was the big thing.
All right. And how did you find, I mean, the one complaint I hear sometimes from people about the cabins is that it can be kind of a trek to get to anything, including the on-resort transportation. Now, you know, you drove, so you had your car available, but then again, were you able to drive your car all the way to your cabin, or did you have to leave it in the parking lot?
Every cabin does have one parking space.
Okay.
So you can park right at your cabin. Was the nice thing about it was when we did that, the first, I had the roof rack on. I didn't have to worry about leaving it out in the parking lot. I left my golf clubs, mine and Corey's golf clubs, were in our car the whole week because we didn't really need them in the resort or in the room. So right. We just left them in the car, and I didn't really have to worry about it, you know, disappearing or not being able to see it, where you're, even in a regular resort, you're not sure where your car is compared to where you're parked or where you're staying.
Right,
all the time.
Right. Instead, it's right under your window.
Correct. And it was nice because even on the cold mornings, I was able to put my hand at the window and give that remote start a little click, and nice and warm when we went out to it if we needed it.
Very nice.
Like when I took Leslie and Kaylee up to get up to the bus.
Oh, right.
For the race.
To run at whatever, 4 in the morning.
Yeah. So I started the car. It was nice and warm when they got out there, and they got off, and I actually sat right at the bus corral at the resort until the bus came for them, and they jumped right on the bus, and then they didn't have to be out in the cold for a little while at least.
Yeah. Yeah.
All but right. The walks to the internal bus wasn't too bad. Where we were at the front of the loop, like the loop goes in and it makes, you know, a one way road around. If you're at the back of the loop, it's a long walk. I mean, it's not a long walk, but it's probably a 5 to 10 minute walk to the buses.
Okay. Well, so it's not any worse than, say, going from, you know, the back of an all-star resort or a Pop Century or something like that, when you've got to walk all the way to the front for the buses, but it's not the convenience of, say, you know, Port Orleans French Quarter or, I don't know, another, you know, more compact resort. It's certainly not but it's not as bad, even sounds like, as, you know, what you might find at, say, Coronado Springs, right? If you're, you know, in one of the farther ones and you want to go to the main stop out front.
Yeah, it's not that bad. I mean, I was a little nervous about it. We talked about renting the golf cart, you know, for the week while we were there. When we requested the loop, I knew what loop we were in. Or what loop we had requested and we were hoping to get. We actually got into that loop and we were in the fourth cabin in off the road. So it wasn't too bad to be anywhere.
Yeah, you got the bonus cabin.
I did. And it's funny because we talked about it and I think it was David Gale when we talked about, because the one night they took me back to the cabin after a Trader Sam's night. And he's like, I think we stayed in that exact same cabin. He's like, the number looks very familiar to me. He's like, I think we stayed in that same cabin. So it was, yeah, like I said, we were not far off the road. It was pretty fun. I enjoyed it. I was very happy with it. I was a little nervous. The one thing I did hear was about the water pressure, the hot water heater, not real big, but we were able to space it enough that we didn't really have any problems.
Well, that's good. That's good. Okay. So nice, helpful information about the resort. Let's start talking a little bit more about then the experiences on this trip. The big goal for the trip, obviously the girls were running the half. Did you or Corey run at all this time?
We did not.
Okay.
Corey, Corey really didn't really express any interest in running yet.
Okay.
This trip he did.
Ah.
He's starting to get the itch, I think. I don't think he likes mom and Kaylee having all the bling and Corey and dad not having any.
Right.
So it's looking like next year, Corey and I are going to do the 5 and the 10, and the girls are going to do the 10 and the half. So we're going to push to try and do some major running next year.
Sure. Well, and that'll be nice. You'll have everybody running the 10 together.
Correct. So the theme for the family is starting to be bounced around. There's some ideas.
Okay. Okay.
For the attire.
Right. Right. For the costuming.
We'll save that for January though.
All right. That sounds good. So you're building some things obviously around the girls running the half, but you know, you had some time before running. So what was on tap for this first part of your trip?
Very relaxed trip. We did pick some park days. Wednesday afternoon, we did Animal Kingdom. We had Everest, we did Navi, the River Journey. And then I think that might've been all we rode. Like I said, my kids have done almost everything.
Sure.
So our goal was to do the new things.
Right. And take a laid back approach and kind of drink it in. I think that was probably wise. So talk about your impressions of Pandora.
The theming of the land was great. I was not a big fan of the Navi ride. It just seemed very blah to me, but I've never seen the movie.
Okay.
So from what I'm hearing, if you saw the movie and you understand it, it fit perfectly. But like I said, I don't know. I never really got into the movie. It was more of a, let's just do it because it's new.
Sure.
So I just thought it was another water ride. It was another Pirates. It was another Small World to me. But right. My wife loved it. Kaylee loved it. They both saw the movie. So
so maybe you need to go see the movie.
I probably should.
Okay, so not impressed with Navi. What about, did you get a chance to ride Flight of Passage at some point during the trip?
Yes, we did. And that was incredible. I have three words to explain that ride. Soarin' on steroids. That's all I could say after it was over. This is incredible.
You know, one thing we should talk about here a little bit is you're a big guy.
I am.
You're what, 6'6"?
Between 6'5" and 6'6".
Okay. So you're not a small person. And there's been a lot of talk about how taller, bigger people have a harder time with the ride vehicle at Flight of Passage. It's a little unusual. I mean, I don't think there's any other – I couldn't think of another ride vehicle that was really like it even at Walt Disney World at least. The closest thing to me maybe is almost Rip Ride Rocket at – Universal, but not even really that one, because for Flight of Passage, you're sitting leaning forward a bit more. Right. So in any case, the restraints are a little unusual and some people have had difficulty. So, were you concerned about that? And how did that whole experience go?
I was actually very concerned. I heard rumors earlier in the trip from some of the other guys that saying they were having trouble. And, I think it was Joe and Adam said they were watching a guy fight with a cast member because he couldn't ride it because he was too big. And Joe looks at me, Joe Masters looks at me and goes, he was built just like you. And I'm thinking, if I wasted a fast pass on this ride and I get up there and can't ride it, or I wait in line for however long and I can't ride it, I'm going to be fuming. So we get over there. We walk over to the, they have a, the ride vehicle outside that you can, the test ride vehicle. I get in it and the guy's like, I don't think you're going to make it. And I'm like, no. So I was all I was frustrated. I was annoyed. I'm like, what am I? Don't want to waste this. I even posted.
What part of the ride, the test vehicle was giving you trouble?
My legs. My upper legs seemed to be too long that I couldn't move far enough forward on the seat.
Okay. So that's a lot of people have had. It's either leg. The complaints I've heard have been mostly either legs or calves. Or feet themselves, because your legs do have to be secured because of the way the ride vehicle kind of, you know, leans and things as part of the motion of the attraction. They got to keep your legs in so you're not kicking the person next to you.
Correct. And it, the way it, the way your legs go in, you have to like bend them at your knee so that your calves are almost laying on the backs of your thighs. So like, you know what I mean? Like that V is almost
they've got to be kind of curled under you almost.
And I have big feet and I have a walking boot on and I'm thinking, I'm never going to get on this thing. Like I got in the test ride. I'm like, there's no way they're not going to get this thing closed because there's a piece that comes up between the, it comes up in the small of your back and then the piece comes around your calves. And I'm thinking, there's no way I'm getting on this, but I decided I'm going to try it. I'm going to go in, I'm going to wait in line. I'm going to see all what it's all about. And I'm going to get in there. And if I have to take this stupid walking boot off and go on it with no shoe on, I'm going to do it. Because I thought that's what's going to stop me because it had the big squared toe. And I'm thinking it's not going to let me get my foot underneath far enough. So I go through it. I get on it. And the guy looks at me. The guy comes over and looks at me. And I'm thinking, great, here it is. Here it comes. I'm going. I'm getting the boot. And he looks at me and goes, take a deep breath in. And I'm like, and I sucked it in and I felt the thing latch behind me. And he goes, you're good. I'm like, okay. That's all I needed to hear.
So it sounds like the cast members really have been paying attention and have learned how to help people who are on the border there, you know, get what they need to be, you know, get where they need to be positioned the way they need to be in order to ride. Because once you did that, at least, you know, and tell me if I'm wrong here, once you did that and the system was, you know, locked in place and you were good to go, it wasn't, you know, desperately uncomfortable.
No, it was not. It was just getting into the position to be locked in. Right. And then I had some freedom to move my leg, even my calves, I was able to move a little bit and get them into a more comfortable position for the 2.5 minutes I was on it or whatever it was.
Right. All right. Well, good to hear. Because
what made me feel better was when they, and I love Joe, or I love Randall to death. And when they said that they squeezed Randall into it, I'm thinking, okay. So.
Yeah. All right. That works. So that's good to hear. Good to hear that they're, you know, they figured out basically how to accommodate the majority of folks. Cause if I fit on it, you fit on it, Randall fit on it, you know, there's very few people left who aren't fitting.
I mean, and the funny thing was I was sitting in one seat and there's Corey next to me, who's 5 foot tall, 5 foot one tall, weighs 80 pounds or 90 pounds and had no problem. And he wasn't scared about falling out of it.
Yeah. Right. Well, and you know, that's actually the interesting thing. I think that ultimately I've heard more complaints from people who are very small, about not necessarily feeling secure. So I'm glad he did, you know, just because it's, and again, I think it's mostly because it's a very unusual ride vehicle. I don't think any of us have experienced anything like it.
I know I haven't ever anywhere. So,
yeah. Okay. So overall good experience. Did you do any, enjoy any food or drink in Animal Kingdom while you were there?
Well, of course we had the bacon Bloody Marys.
Ah, that's right.
At the Dawa Bar. And, did we eat anywhere else? I don't think so. Kaylee had the like tie-dye cake, coffee roll thing in Pandora. I don't know what it was called.
Okay.
But it was like red and blue and green and looked like the tie-dye cheesecake from Pop Century.
Yeah.
But it was a coffee cake.
Right.
Leslie had some kind of green beer. She enjoyed it. I'm not a beer drinker, so I didn't really want to try it. But she said that was good. Bacon Bloody Mary, of course, was always a favorite.
Now, did Dollar Bar have the full Sunrise menu or just the Bloody Mary when you asked for it?
They didn't even have the Sunrise menu up at all. And yeah. I looked at the menu and I said, they don't have it. And the girl goes, what do you want? And I'm like, Bacon Bloody Mary. And she goes, you want it spicy or not? I'm like, yeah, we want it spicy. And she's like, okay, hold on. And she started making it. So she had the stuff to make it. All right. It just wasn't listed.
So that just means that there's a little bit of, you know, shred of decency that's been rescued, because it does sound like, for all intents and purposes, the Sunrise cocktail menu is gone. I mean, this is now the third time in a row, I think, that I've heard from somebody who went looking for it specifically and it wasn't around. And it just sounds like, you know, they get, and this was the experience I think that we had with it the last time I was there, which is that they've got basically a batch of Bloody Mary stuff, right? They get a batch because they don't have their own kitchen. Yeah. So the folks at Tusker House, you know, make up a batch of Bloody Mary mix for them, and they have that. And then when it's gone, it's done for the day.
It's gone. Yeah. Because I know Terrence at one point didn't get one, and then later in the trip got one, because it was the same thing. They got there early enough and were able to get it.
Right. All right. Well, it's good to know that it's possible. I am a little disappointed that it's just the one, because that one was not necessarily my favorite of the Sunrise Cocktail Bar Bloody Marys. It was probably my second favorite. Believe it or not.
You didn't like the watermelon one, did you?
No, God, no.
Okay.
No, there were three Bloody Marys on the menu. There was the one that had mozzarella and basil, which was not my favorite. That was my least favorite. There was the one that had bacon in it. That was my second favorite. And then there was the one that was had a little more horseradish to it, and something else in it. I'm trying to remember. It was a little different taste, a little spicier. The one with the bacon is actually a little bit sweeter.
Yeah.
And I preferred the one that was a little spicier instead of a little sweeter.
Yeah, I don't remember that one, but I remember you talking about that when you were on the one podcast.
when we did the whole menu.
Yeah.
All right. So enough talk about the lamented and lost Sunrise Cocktail menu at Dollar Bar. Did you get back around to Animal Kingdom at any point, or was that pretty much all of your Animal Kingdom experience on this trip?
We actually did Wednesday and Monday, because we couldn't get Na'vi and Flights of Passage on the same day.
Ah, right. Okay.
So Monday was actually a later day. We did Everest. We did the Flights of Passage. We went back to the resort, hung out for a little bit, and then went back in for our evening safari and Rivers of Light. So we kind of did a split day on Monday with early afternoon and then later in the evening.
Right, right. That makes sense. Now, so it sounds to me like, first of all, aside from the fact that you split up the days just because you wanted to make sure you got the fast passes for each of the, you know, two different days, it sounds to me like, for you at least, Animal Kingdom is, you know, not a half-day park anymore, unless you're making it a half-day on purpose because you want to split up the fast passes.
Correct. Yeah, we pretty much, we've always done Animal Kingdom as a whole day. My kids love doing the treks and the going out to Rafiki's and all that stuff. So we do spend a lot of time in Animal Kingdom. It's probably our favorite park right now.
So now it's almost a full day plus.
Yes. Because there is a lot more there now.
Yeah, right, right. Well, and let's talk about a little bit of that more. Was this the first time you've gotten to see Rivers of Light?
Yes, it was. We had the opportunity. Actually, I don't know that we had the opportunity last year. I don't remember if it was open yet or if it was just in the soft testing opening. But this was our first time sitting and watching it.
And what did you think of the show?
I was exhausted and falling asleep.
So was it soothing and helping you nap? Or
yes, it was. It was the music was very calming. The lights on the river were very calming. Probably didn't help that when we sat down, I jumped down a row in front of Leslie and the kids because there were some smaller kids behind us. And the one kid goes, oh, the big guy sat in front of me. So I jumped down front of Leslie so that at least I was in blocking her view. And then I leaned back, like she had her knees spread apart, and I leaned back like to rest.
Okay.
And that was it. Then yeah. I was done.
You're done. Okay.
Well, plus, so I was trying to get a nap in before the football game.
Right. So after the show, what did the rest of your family have to say about it?
Leslie and Kaylee loved it. Corey was kind of iffy, but that's not his thing.
Sure.
He's more of the big explosion and lights going everywhere, which he did like the tree or the post that came up with the flames. He did like that part out of the one flower.
Right. Right. Well, you know, you gotta love fire.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so from Animal Kingdom, let's head to the park that probably is sort of on the brink of its version of Animal Kingdom's kind of rebirth, and that would be Disney's Hollywood Studios. You know, right now there's a lot of construction work going on, but maybe not as much activity going on. Did you get to spend much time in Hollywood Studios on this trip?
Again, it was about a half day, just because that was our plan. We did Hollywood Studios on Friday, which Corey and I and Kevin Conrad were scheduled to golf on Friday morning to do the Sunrise 9 again. Unfortunately, we were delayed because of the frost warning. Florida frost is not like Pennsylvania frost. We walked past part of the course and there was nothing, but they were delaying us, and then they kept delaying us. Kevin had plans with his wife for, you know, for lunch, and we had plans to go to the park, and then the picnic was later in the evening. So Kevin and I kind of just looked at each other and like, let's scrap this. So unfortunately our golf plans got hosed.
Okay. No, wait. I've heard of golf being rained out. I've heard of golf being, canceled by called out for lightning. I think this is the first time I've had a round in Florida, no less, canceled for frost.
Yeah. Yeah. When you tell guys from Pennsylvania that they can't play on a golf course because there's frost, I kind of laughed at the guy. I really did. It was pretty annoying. We checked in and went and paid, and then they told us there was a delay.
Right.
So if you're going to delay us, just tell us beforehand, so then you didn't have to refund us the $115 for the three of us to play golf.
Right, right.
And you know what I mean? Like, let us decide if we're going to stay.
Yeah, but by collecting your money, they bought the likelihood that you would stay.
Yeah. Well, like I said, after the first hour and 15 minutes of delay, and then we were playing the Sunrise 9. So what the plan was they get you on the course early.
Oh, right. Well, if you play quickly enough, they'll let you play another 9.
Or they get you on the course early. You're done before their bigger groups come in. Well, they delayed us an hour and 15 minutes, actually. And 45 minutes later, they had a tournament starting.
Oh, no.
So we were going to be pushed from the Magnolia. They were pushing us to the Palm.
Oh, they were going to make you play a different course, too.
Yeah. And I looked at Kevin, I'm like, I don't want to do this. Like, Corey and I played the Magnolia last year. Our whole plan was to play the other 9. So we had a full scorecard for the shadow box that Leslie wanted to make.
Right, right.
Because she took the scorecard, and like we each got a golf ball last year and the tees that come with it,
right,
and the picture of us, and we wanted to fill the scorecard so it looked like the whole thing was done. So that was our plan, was to play the other half of the course and fill it out. Well, then when they pushed us to their course, I was getting upset, and the guy could tell that I was getting upset, and he's like, "Do you want your money back?" And I'm like, "Can I reschedule for Monday?" And he's like, "Yeah." I said, "Well, it'll only be 2 on Monday," but he's not a problem. So we pushed it back to Monday for Corey and I. And then on Sunday, I called and just canceled it because Corey really didn't want to play Monday at that point. We had other plans. So. Right.
Well, that's unfortunate. So you missed your chance to play golf and mostly the fault of the frost. That's disappointing. You did spend a half day at Hollywood Studios. Great. So when you're spending a half day, what is it you're going to do with that half day?
We went in, we went over to Star Tours, rode Star Tours without a fast pass. It was about 25 minute wait. We walked back across the park, hit Tower of Terror, Rock and Roller Coaster within about an hour and 10 minutes. We had fast passes for each of those. We got off. We also, on our way over, we stopped into the launch bay and did the BB-8 meet and greet. hit Rock and Roller Coaster. I had my two Jack and Coke slushies, which were incredible. I ordered a Jack and Coke, and the girl's like, "Do you want the slushy or the regular Coke?" And I'm like, "I want the slushy." So I had the icy.
You didn't know it before you ordered, but by the time she asked, that's what you wanted.
Yeah. I got two of the Coke icies with the shot and a half of Jack in the bottom. And it was the first part was Jack hit ya. And then it kind of mixed nicely once you've got it going. Then we did our Tower of Terror Fast Pass and we actually headed out because we had stuff to get ready for the picnic. So, I mean, we were probably in the park 3 hours.
And you got a lot done in 3 hours.
We did.
Including two Jack and Coke slushies.
And I got another one after Tower of Terror on my way out. So I had three in like 3 hours.
3 hours. Oh, boy. Leslie Thank God for on-property transportation.
Yeah. Leslie looked at me and goes, "That's the most you drank on this trip." I'm like, "You weren't in Trader Sam's." You have no idea.
Okay, so that leads us to, we'll take a little break from parks and talk a little bit about hanging with the Diz Dads. Because, you know, you actually do a really nice job of balancing the family part of your trip with the hanging with the guys part of your trip, including some blended, right, where you've got the family with you to hang with the guys.
Oh, absolutely. But,
talk a little bit about, you know, the Diz Dads Club convention sort of, you know, how you fit yourself into what was going on, the events of the extended weekend, you know, both with and without family.
It is a hard thing to balance, but I try to balance as much as I can. You know, anytime we do the park things where the dads get together or the picnic, family's always there, because that they're the reason I'm a dad. So that's, you know, I take them, they go pretty much everywhere to the picnic, and they did rides in Epcot together. We've done days in Hollywood Studios. I believe 1 year we were with you guys in Hollywood Studios and did Tower of Terror, or did Toy Story. We did that big group on Tower of Terror a couple years ago. I try to balance it as best I can. Leslie was really really willing to, like, when we got back to the room at night, just be like, "Go, do what you want. Go. I don't care." Yeah. So I spent a lot of the nights, like, you know, after hours. I went back to Trader Sam's one night, actually two nights. After the picnic, Leslie and Kaylee went back to the room to get to bed to run the race the next morning. Corey and I actually stayed at Saratoga for probably until about 11 o'clock when Carl gave us a ride back. And Corey was just hanging out with the guys. You know, he was sitting on his phone playing. He was, Adam gave him a charger, and he was playing games on Adam's laptop at one point and just kind of hanging out. But he's at the age now where he can occupy himself, and he would have been doing the same thing sitting in our room.
As so he might as well do it hanging with you and the guys.
Yeah. And the guys love him. The guys are great in the group. They love seeing the kids there. They love hanging out with them. His favorite part was that Joe had Mickey bars in the freezer. He's like, "Why don't we have Mickey bars in our freezer?" I'm like, "Because Uncle Joe bought them." My kids have affectionately renamed all of the dads. They're not just their name anymore. They're all Dunkles, to go off of the Gravity Falls, the Grunkle Stan.
Right, right.
Well, now you guys are the Dunkles, the Disuncles. They're, you know, Dunkle Joe, Dunkle Carl, Dunkle Kevin.
Right.
All you guys got the Dunkle. And then Corey at one point actually said, "Tonight they're my drunkles," because he realized we were all drinking.
Yeah.
And then coincidentally, Joe Masters found a shirt the other day and sent it to me, and it said drunkle on it. So he's like, "We're going to get these for next year." But yeah, it is a tough balance. I have to give it to Leslie. She does give me the ability to go and hang out, you know, at night and do some of the stuff with the guys. And she's willing to plan our park days around where everybody's going to be or where a majority of people are going to be. I think we ran into the Bloins in every park we were in through the whole trip because we were in the same park every day.
I'm sorry.
So we kind of saw those guys. No, don't be sorry. We get along with them because Juliana is the same age as Kaylee.
Right,
Christopher's
right.
Just younger than Corey. So it's kind of,
oh yeah, I'm just giving Timmy trouble.
When we get together, we kind of hang out together because we do all get along.
Yeah.
So it's nice because the kids are all the same age. So
sure.
It's nice to give them that too. The kids had a blast meeting. They met Chris Papchick's kids. They met David Gale's kids this time. Bob Chavez had some of the kids at the picnic. Kaylee refused to talk to Jim Locke for the entire trip because he didn't bring Alex with him this year. He brought Ethan or Evan. So Kaylee didn't talk to Terrence much because he left Maya at home.
Right.
So Kaylee was a little upset that some of her friends from last year weren't there this year.
Right.
So she was kind of like a little off with the uncles.
Right. Well, you know, then it's probably a good thing that I didn't show up by myself because, I would have gotten the stink eye.
You probably would have because the two that she's been wanting to meet the most are Michaela and Ariel.
Oh, right.
And neither of them came this year yet. So she's excited for next year because she was already told that it's Alex's turn to come back with Jim Locke. So.
Yeah, see, unfortunately, January is really hard for us now with Michaela because she's in high school and it just doesn't, we start back right away.
See, we do too. What saves us is the bad weather. We always get one or two snow days while we're away.
See, we can't count on those.
They don't miss much. Yeah, see, we try not to, but we always end up getting them. Yeah. We had three this trip.
Wow.
So. Their 7 days of school they were missing, they ended up only missing four.
Right.
And one of them was an early dismissal and one was a 2-hour delay. So they got 3 days back and two half days essentially.
Right. Well, that helps.
Yeah. So we do have that benefit that we do get some bad weather right around that time and we can always get 1 day back at least.
Sure. Okay. So let's circle back then to park time. Obviously, Epcot is always a popular park during a Disdad's Club convention. Talk about your time spent in Epcot on this trip.
We did Thursday in Epcot when quite a few of the dads were there. That was the day of the beer garden reservation. Met up with Kevin Conrad and his wife Tanya, Randall and Jody, the Boloins, Scott, Joe, Hozier. Adam, Terrence, Jeff Fry, I believe, was there. I met Patrick Gleason for the first time in Epcot. Coincidentally, I walked up to him and he said, "Oh, there's somebody else in shorts," because it was cold. And we got to talking and I said, "Yeah, from Pennsylvania." And we were talking to him and coincidentally, he's like, "Yeah, I know Carl." And he's like, I'm like, "How do you know Carl?" He goes, "I just ate dinner with him." I'm like, "Are you Patrick?" And he's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "I'm Jay. Nice to meet you."
That's really funny.
Yeah. That was the day Carl actually made it after his 77 hours of travel, it seemed like.
Right.
To get there. I said to him, I said, "If you would have left with us, you wouldn't have had that problem." But he ended up driving himself. So we did Frozen for the first time. We actually didn't get
Fast Pass. Let me ask you this, because this is an interesting sort of head-to-head comparison now, right? You rode Frozen Ever After for the first time, and you rode Navi River Journey for the first time, and your comment about Navi River Journey is, it was just another boat ride. So compare Frozen Ever After.
I don't want to say it's just another boat ride, because it has the drops. It has a drop, like a legit drop. In my opinion.
Okay.
I think because I remember the Maelstrom, or not the Maelstrom. Yeah.
Was it
Maelstrom? Yeah. We rode Maelstrom the last day that it was open before they closed it. So it was fun to ride it again in the new, the new layout. And it didn't hurt that the group in front of us had about 27 people in our boat. And so that our boat didn't catch up to them. It was the four of us. And that was it.
Oh, wow.
So we were singing obnoxiously loud.
Right. And you had your own private boat.
Yeah. And we had a really good time. It was a good family thing because we were having fun. And Kaylee was mad because I could touch the snow G and she couldn't reach it from where she was, but I could touch it. On the end of the point there, when you're
just in case any Disney, Norway cast members are listening, to be very clear, he said he could
if I wanted to, but I didn't.
Didn't ever say he actually did. Okay. Yeah.
But it was, I mean, it was another boat ride, but it was a little bit more because my family had more fun on it. Like, because we all know the movie.
Right. Right. Well, that's fair. Okay. And any other, either just attractions or dining, other experiences in Epcot that kind of stand out?
The only thing I remember about Epcot was it was mobbed. It was absolutely shoulder to shoulder everywhere you went. I could not believe how many people were in Epcot on a Thursday.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think all the parks this round, and you correct me if I'm wrong, I was just noticing this kind of as a third-party observer, kind of, you know, following posts from afar, but it seemed to me that in general, the parks were pretty full, pretty busy, you know, especially for this time of year. I mean, look, Diz Dad's convention is the same weekend every year, and of the 6 years, I think I heard more complaints about crowds this year than any other, despite the cold.
What did it this year? And we talked about this a lot when we were just hanging out and chatting. What did it this year was it was so close to New Year's.
Right.
Because it was so early in the month, all the New Year's crowd was still there.
Right. Well, it's the problem of New Year's Day being at the beginning of the week.
Yeah.
Because, you know, all those there were a lot of folks who didn't have to be back at school for basically another week because the New Year holiday came at the beginning of the week.
Correct. And it just, there was just so many people. I think the only thing we rode was Frozen.
Okay.
I don't remember. Let me just take a quick circle. No, because Living with the Land was 45 minutes. So we didn't ride that. Soarin' was over 2 hours. Test Track was almost 3 hours.
Wow. See, and these, you know, we're not talking. This was not between Christmas and New Year's, you know, this is several days later.
Yeah. What hurt was Mission Space was down. Spaceship Earth was down. When we were there, like everything in the front of the park, it seemed like was down at one point. So the only thing you had was Frozen, Test Track, and Soarin' and Living with the Land.
Hey.
So it's, you know, when those people start moving out, the front hub area didn't seem so crowded, but everywhere else did.
Right.
And right. It was one of those things like, okay, we've done it. We don't need to wait for characters. We spent a lot more time just standing around actually in Germany in Germany while they were getting ready to go to Beer Garden. We just kind of hung out in that one pavilion area or that one cove area where they have the picnic tables right off to the, like across from Snow White.
Oh, okay.
We kind of just hung out there where all those picnic tables were and chatted and got to meet the new people that were there. That was pretty much all we did in Epcot.
All right.
I mean, we did some other, like the kids and I, we saw some of the shows and stuff, but we didn't do anything spectacular. Again, the best part about this trip to me was we didn't do one rope drop. We didn't do one fireworks. We didn't stay till one park closing. We kind of just relaxed.
Okay. Okay. So one park left we haven't talked about, the park, you know, the granddaddy, Magic Kingdom. And so did you get good time to hang out in Magic Kingdom? And you know, that's the park that usually I think, you know, Epcot space-wise handles crowds best, but attraction-wise, obviously Magic Kingdom has the best ability to absorb crowds. So how did touring in the Magic Kingdom go with a rather busy park?
It actually wasn't too bad because it was on Sunday. I shouldn't say it wasn't too bad. Early wasn't bad and late wasn't bad. The middle of the day was crowded. But the reason the middle of the day was crowded was because they had the parade for Central Florida for their undefeated season.
Okay.
Was on Sunday afternoon.
Oh, right, right.
So that, like, once 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock hit for that 4 o'clock parade, the park was packed.
Right.
But it was all people that were there for the parade.
Yeah, so they weren't necessarily in line for attractions. They were gathering along Main Street.
Correct. So it was crowded. You could tell that you'd ride something and you could tell it was a little bit more people. And then you'd go and you ride something else and you could tell there's like, okay, there's a lot more people here now. You could see it building as the day went on. 5 o'clock hit, park was empty. Because they all came for the parade and left.
Yep.
But I've seen pretty much everything on Disney property. That parade was the coolest experience I've ever had.
Wow. Even with the crazy crowd.
Yes, because it was a crazy crowd of college kids that were the most well-behaved group of college kids I've ever seen.
Well, see, because it's a big group of college kids gathering in the dry park.
Correct. And I've gone to Penn State games. I've gone to pro football games and baseball games. And they were – it was – I'm trying to think of how to say it. It was a very surreal experience because as Penn State fans and my wife being an alumni, the same thing happened to us in 1994 that happened to them this year. They were undefeated. They won their bowl game and somebody else got handed the national championship.
Right. They got shut out because they didn't play the right people.
Exactly. And that's what happened to Penn State in 1994. Nebraska was handed the national championship. And I remember the parade on the campus at State College. Just like that one they had in the Magic Kingdom. And I said, what makes this better is it was in the Magic Kingdom. But it was, and as Penn State fans, we went and we watched the parade and we cheered for those guys because those kids deserved it. And seeing that, you know, they had the cheerleaders come down first and then we got a spot on Main Street. We were like the third row off, like the first group was sitting on the curb. Then there was maybe two lines and we were maybe the third row, and Corey being shorter, I put him up on my shoulders because we were in the back row essentially of lined up down Main Street. And when the football team came down, he leaned over and he was high-fiving them all and they were all like jumping up and high-fiving them. The best part of the parade was the band got on Main Street and turned to face us.
Oh, cool.
So when they played, they played right into our faces from 10 feet away. And my heart was pounding from the way that the music was hitting us, hitting the building behind us and coming back. Cause it was such a short distance.
Yeah.
And there's a 200-300 piece band in Main Street. Like, think about just how the music echoes and people's voices echo in Main Street. And then put a band in there. It was the coolest thing I've ever seen.
That sounds great. That.
And I said to Leslie, I said, we actually had Animal Kingdom for Sunday and Magic Kingdom for Monday. And I said to her, I said, we're going to that parade. When they announced it, I said, we're going to be in Magic Kingdom on Sunday because I want to see that.
Yeah. That sounds awesome. Yeah. So aside from the parade and this, you know, big, crazy crowd, did you get to enjoy any of the other things in the park or was that enough?
No, we actually got quite a few rides in. We pretty much rode everything in Tomorrowland, everything in Fantasyland. The kids, we kind of stayed to that side of the park. We walked over, the kids did some Sorcerer cards. They're still into that. So we walked over and did those in Frontierland. And then, like I said, all the rides and stuff we did were on the Fantasyland and Tomorrowland side.
Okay.
And that's pretty much where we stayed.
Right.
For most of the day.
Well, that's what, you know, when you get a big parade like that, it helps to divide yourself to one side or the other because getting across is a headache.
And like I said, as I've said numerous times, we've done everything.
Yeah.
You know, it was just a matter of we have to go because we're there.
Sure. All right. So we've wrapped up parks. Let's just kind of talk generally about, any dining experiences that we haven't already talked about that were notable.
Okay. We did the Bon Voyage breakfast at Trattoria Al Forno. Honestly, probably one of the better breakfasts on property. It is a character meal. It has Ariel and Eric. And Rapunzel, and Flynn Rider. It is a menu based. It's not a buffet, so right. You pick an option off the menu. It is still the same price for everybody for the character meal. I had the steak and egg. It was a two big pieces of steak with the eggs and potatoes. Leslie did the same thing. Kids had pancakes and Corey even special requested chocolate chip pancakes. They had no problem doing it. Great breakfast, great character interactions. We were one of the first tables that the characters came to. So once we were done eating, we were out pretty quick. Didn't have to hang out and wait for characters all day. But definitely worth it. And again, we've done most of the character meals on property. So that was a new one for us.
Right, right.
The other dining experience we had was we went to Trail's End at Fort Wilderness, the yep. Trail's End Buffet. First time for that. My cousin, her husband is a cast member. So they got a reservation there, invited us along. You know, very good buffet, for the price. It's not one of the more expensive ones. It's because there's no characters and anything like that. But good Southern, like, brisket and pulled pork and big potato bar and like smoky style. Yeah,
smoky, hearty.
Yeah. Good food all around. Good. Honestly, one of the better buffets that I've had. Other kind of character dining thing we did the campfire sing along.
Oh, yeah.
With Chip and Dale at Fort Wilderness. Probably would have been a little bit better had it been warmer.
Right.
Cold did put a little bit of damper on it. It's about a 45-minute show with the guy on stage with the guitar, and then Chip and Dale come out and they kind of split the pavilion area there, and one goes one way, one goes the other way, and they kind of try to meet with everybody.
Right. And at least, I mean, the problem is that they call it a campfire, but it's not your, you know, keep warm bonfire.
No, there's two little fire pits off to each side of the area. There's a food truck that's parked there. They have, you know, a pretty good menu of food if you want to order. Also, you can buy a bag. It's like the s'mores to go bag. It's two Hershey bars, big pack of graham crackers, and a bag of marshmallows. Comes with the sticks, so you don't need them. They ask how many sticks you need. So the kids had some s'mores during that. There's also a huge movie screen there that they project movies on. Again, probably would have been a little bit better had it been warmer. But we kind of jetted right after the campfire sing along.
Sure.
Out of that.
Because at that point, it's pretty cold.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was late. It was like 8:30, 9 o'clock. So it was getting chilly. That was pretty much the only other. I don't think we did any other meals, like sit down meals. We kind of, like I said, we did a very relaxed trip. You know, we ate breakfast in our room pretty much every night, every day. Especially with the races, like with us and Kaylee running and then us golf, supposed to golf on Friday. We didn't really want to plan too many meals where we were rushing back and trying to get stuff done. The last real thing that I wanted to talk about was my kids did the horseback riding.
Oh, yeah, yeah. At the Circle D Ranch.
Right. My parents asked Leslie and I a couple months ago what they wanted for Christmas. And I said, I really don't know. You know, they knew we were going to Disney. So my dad started looking and he's like, would they want to go horseback riding? And I'm like, probably. Like, they'd enjoy that.
Right.
So my dad said, go ahead and book it for whatever day you want. And then, so Leslie and I booked it ahead of time. And then my parents gave them gift cards for the amount for the horseback riding as their Christmas, one of their Christmas presents this year, and told them about it. So they did that on Saturday afternoon. Right. It was about an hour long ride. I think it was $55 per person. The adults are not required to go as long as they're willing to sign the waiver for the kids to go.
Now, that's true as long as the kids are old enough.
Correct.
Do you remember what the limit was? Because I this came up once before, and I don't know whether we ever clarified what that minimum age was for the kids to be able to ride without adult accompaniment.
Corey is 11, and they let him go.
Right.
But I know there was a 9-year-old that a parent had to go.
Okay, so it's probably that 10. Traditional Disney Junior cutoff point, right? When correct. They're 10.
They're an adult.
Yeah.
That's what I think. I don't know for sure, but I know because I specifically asked that. And they said that he was fine to go at 11 as long as he was okay on his own. And I says, well, his sister's going to be there.
Yeah.
You know, if he has a problem, she has her phone. If there's any real problems. And Leslie and I sat at the stable there.
Right. It's not like we all were running to Trader Sam's.
No. I thought about it.
But I was going to say, as tempting as that might be.
The only thing we did, we ran back to our cabin at one point once they, because the way they come out, they go, like they come out of that pavilion and the stable area, and then they cross the road and go down the trail. But we went to the cabin because we could see the trail.
Right.
So once they crossed the road, we went back to the cabin and took pictures of them on the trail.
Oh, cool.
Back in that area. But they couldn't see us because we were back at the pool.
Yeah.
So we just kind of got some through the trees of them there. And then we went back up to the front and waited for them. But it was like an hour overall with the getting them ready and then the actual ride. Kaylee said along the ride, they saw armadillos. They saw turkeys. They saw deer. And they said the horses didn't have any issues seeing the other animals. They all walked pretty much in a straight line. They had a little bit of control they had to do. Corey's kept trying to eat bushes along the way. So he had to keep trying to steer them back. One of my concerns was with Corey's autism that if he had a problem, how close one of the cast members was going to be
to him.
And they actually put Kaylee and Corey last so that Corey was right in front of the last cast member so that if he did have a problem, she was right there.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just requested that just because of him. I didn't want him to get out there and freak out and have a major problem.
Yeah.
And they were very receptive. Afterwards, the girl that sat behind him actually came and said to me, she goes, he was awesome. He goes, he listened. He had full control when that horse started walking. He pulled him, said his name, and he got that horse right back on track. He goes, he was a natural on that horse.
Awesome.
Compared to some other people. And I was like, I was totally flabbergasted by it, but impressed that he was able to do it because I was a little nervous. I get when he goes and does something new and I'm not right there to see him do that new thing, I get nervous about it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, you know what? It doesn't really surprise me. First of all, it doesn't surprise me because I know that a number of kids, you know, with similar issues actually use equine therapy. They use horses for therapy and they're wonderful with them. But just Corey's overall, I mean, I've met him a couple of times and he just seems like with, you know, he reminds me a lot of my son in a lot of ways. And, and with an animal like that, it's different. I don't know how to describe it. It's just, it's different.
And I think what helped him was Kaylee has a very mothering, trying to control type, you know, aspect. And she was in front of him. So she couldn't see what he was doing to tell him what he was doing wrong.
Right.
Wasn't dealing with the corrections. Exactly. And he was just able to go and relax.
We're familiar with that dynamic.
Yep. I assume because yours are about the same age apart, 3 years, and the girl's the older one. And it was just a very calming experience for him, I think. And he said, he asked as soon as it was over, he goes, Dad, can I do that again? So we already have that on the agenda for next year's trip.
Excellent. Glad they found a new, you know, fun activity that they enjoy. Who'd have thunk? Walt Disney World for horseback riding.
Yeah. And we're actually going to keep this on the podcast that he doesn't listen to. But I think over the summer, he's going to go. There's a place nearby. I think we're going to get him into it a little bit more.
Nice. Well, so that kind of is a perfect segue to wrap us around to the wrap-up questions we like to ask. We always want to know, I mean, for folks who go back year after year, it seems to me that there's always, you know, one thing on any trip where when you try to think back on a particular trip, you know, there's some image in your head, right, that just says this trip. What's going to be that image for you of January 2018?
There's going to be two. And that's watching Leslie and Kaylee cross the finish line of the half marathon. Cause I know how hard they worked to get to that point.
Sure.
And that watching Leslie cross that finish line with tears in her eyes made my trip. Cause I knew that's all she wanted to do. She didn't care if it took her 10 hours. She was crossing that finish line if it killed her.
Right.
It might have, but But she said, and for her to say within hours saying, I'm going to do that again, I knew that's what she wanted.
Yeah.
So those two, seeing their two faces cross the finish line was what's going to stick out to me.
Sure. And then thinking back, you know, this was a trip where you were blending, hanging with the guys with family. This was a trip where you were dealing with weather that was unexpected. Looking at all the things you did on this trip, what's one bit of advice you would give to somebody else who's considering a similar trip, you know, who maybe is considering a trip when the weather might be a little iffy and they're wondering whether they can have a good experience, or they're considering a trip where, you know, they're coming down because there's a sports competition their kids participating in and they're concerned about being able to blend that with a trip. Any advice you would give to somebody in one of those situations?
If you're going to do it, do it. If you're even thinking about doing it, do it, because you can always make it work. I've gone and gone park opening to park close every day of the trip, and I saw how miserable now the kids were. So take those breaks, do the out of park experiences, take the rest. Let them sleep. Try to get the most of your trip, but not overdo it.
Right, right. Oh, that's great advice. That's great advice. I mean, the point really is that there's no one way to do this. And so don't buy into this. You have to do X, Y, Z, and you have to do it in this order and whatever. The bottom line is, if you're adaptable, anything can work.
Exactly. And if there's something you missed, just gives you a reason to go back next year.
There you go. All right. Well, Jay, thanks so much for coming back to the show and sharing your experience. I'm sorry I missed getting to hang out with you and the family this time around, but it sounds like you managed to have a great time anyway.
One little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation, right at the start of everything that's new. One little spark lights up for you. Oh, hello there. So glad you could come along. I am the Dreamfinder. Musical notes, what delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. And you never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Two tiny wings, eyes big and yellow, horns of a steer, but a lovable fella. From head to tail, he's royal purple pigment. And there, voila, you've got a figment of imagination.